but we all have different expressions and ways that God is using us, different places that he's put us, different callings he's placed upon us. And just seeing story after story after story, that really begins to become apparent, because when we were starting out in our own generosity journeys, it's really easy, especially if you don't have a lot of kind of templates and other people's stories to go off of, to think that as God is leading you and you're figuring stuff out, to be like, oh, this is what God has called everybody's life to look like, exactly like this.
Welcome to the Generosity Now podcast, where we bring you inspiring stories of generosity and whole life stewardship. Our goal is to showcase individuals and organizations making a positive impact in our communities and across the world. I'm your host, Eric Most, president of the National Christian Foundation, Rocky Mountain Region. I'm joined by my incredible co-host, Lori Bossert, VP in our office. Lori, how are you doing today?
It's a fun day. We get to do podcast recording, and we have two brothers with us today.
That's right. On the show today, we have Keelan and Cody Hobelman. Joining us. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're glad to be here.
This is a fun opportunity to have you guys on the show. I was actually on your podcast a few years ago, and I actually had talked with you about this idea of having a generosity podcast. I didn't even think I had a name for it at the time. And I said, even then, like, hey, I'm going to look forward to having you guys on the show. And today's the day. And so we're so grateful that you've invested this time and are willing to come on and join this. You guys have your brothers in two different industries, but you have a common passion, and it's around generosity and stewardship. And that birthed in you guys this desire to host the Finish Line podcast. And you created some curriculum around here, and this idea of setting a financial finish line and the impact that it can have. And so that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about, first off, just what led you guys into that journey. Actually, that's going to be second off. First off, we want to hear a little bit about who you are. Want to know a little bit of your story, both individually and together, growing up and things like that.
Sure. Well, I can start off. We grew up in a Christian home. I wouldn't say that I really took my faith seriously much at all until probably ninth grade. I remember reading, honestly, I think it might have been Leviticus, and just saying to myself in my head, I either gotta accept this book at face value and make this the guiding light of my life, or I gotta put this whole thing aside because there's no middle ground here. It was kind of a slow start from there on forward, but that's really where I think my faith kind of started off. And then I'll let Cody share a little bit about some of his faith background.
Yeah, well, growing up in the same house as Keelan, I started to see how he was taking his faith seriously. And I took a lot longer, but he started intentionally mentoring me, whether you remember it or not, Keelan. When I was in seventh grade, we started going for walks, and he just tell me what he was learning and reading in the Bible. And I was listening very carefully, but I didn't really make the jump to taking ownership and really making that personal relationship with Christ until after college. So it took me a lot longer, but things really picked up and got interesting from that point forward. So that was really 2016 that I really said, it's all or nothing. I can't kind of casually go to church on Sunday and then live the rest of my life on the other 6 days of the week. I'm all in. So that was kind of the turning point for me, but certainly informed by being raised in that household, going to church growing up, and then also having someone that I trusted and knew pouring into me for many, many years leading up to that.
You guys obviously are brothers, and are you guys the only siblings?
Oh, there's one more brother in between us.
Oh, in between. Okay, I also have three boys. I love three boys.
Definitely a loud house growing up.
Yeah, the loud house may have been my fault versus theirs. I homeschooled them, so we allowed a lot of energy in our house for sure. So as you guys, you shared a little bit about your story of Christ and you're growing up a little bit. Tell us more about your families now and where you are today and the work that you're doing.
Sure. My wife and I dated through college. We were actually at different colleges. I started in a kind of an engineering route and then switched to medicine right towards the very end of college. So we actually had a gap year where I was working as an engineer after college. My wife and I got married right around that time after college. And that was a pretty foundational time for both my wife and I spiritually. I think it was during that time I read Crazy Love, and that had a big impact on me. Really, I'd say the biggest change was I started to see a much bigger story going on. All the way up until then, I had been pretty focused on my story. What was I going to do? Who was I going to marry? What was in store for me? And that really shifted to there's only one story going on, and it's how much am I going to be a part of that story or not a part of that story? And so my wife and I really developed a passion for supporting Native missionaries around the world. And for that 1 year, we poured a lot of energy and finances into trying to do that. And then I started med school, and that threw everything up in the air again. I had to, stop my job as an engineer and took on these large tuition payments for the next 4 years. And we had to really kind of grapple with what God was doing and all that, what that meant for how we give, how do we process through some of that. It was around that time that we started praying one of the craziest prayers that I think I've ever consistently prayed, which was that God would actually get us through med school without any loans so that we could get back to giving at a high level right after med school. And I had no idea how that was going to happen. We had enough saved for one semester out of eight. But we just started praying that prayer every day. And by the end of that first semester, sure enough, somehow enough had come together for that second semester. And then the third. And before we knew it, we were actually making that last med school tuition payment and then heading into residency. And that had just poured gasoline onto our faith, seeing God move over and over and over. And I could, fill an hour in all the little stories of how he provided, like 2,000 here and 5,000, and all these little things to get through that period. But we were totally sold all in at that point and wanted to know how we could step deeper into the story that he had invited us into. And I also knew going into residency, already tuition was behind us now. I had, a modest income as a resident in training. And we already knew that we had what we needed. We were happy where we were at. And I knew that in 5 years, I was going to go into private practice with a significant income jump at that point. We wanted to navigate that jump wisely without, kind of accidentally expanding our lifestyle to just fill up all that margin. And so that's really where we started this kind of exploration of what we now call a finish line. We didn't really know what to call it at that time. And so we started exploring kind of ways that we could approach that kind of a decision, kind of settled on a little formula that worked for us. And we've maintained that since then. And that's been our financial finish line. And I'll let Cody jump in, but that definitely kind of started a whole spiral of interesting events from there.
Yeah, I'm also married. My wife, Stephanie, and I started dating in high school as well, and dated up through college and until we got married. And we live in Maryland, and my story is in some ways the reverse. I started in pre-med, and that was a disaster, and that was a terrible decision that fortunately didn't work out. Fortunately for everybody, didn't work out. But my goal was to make a lot of money, and I figured being a doctor was going to get me there. And I just really wanted all of the the American dream things. I wanted a big house. I wanted a nice car. I wanted vacation homes. And I really was focused on how do I find the shortcut to building my own kingdom? And that's kind of the mindset I went into college with. And I was quickly humbled when things didn't go the way I planned. And so I ended up choosing to pursue economics with kind of a business mindset instead, still wanting to make as much money as possible. But when I got out of college, a couple things started to happen. I started to go back to church. I started to really study the word for the first time. And Keelan would start to tell me about some of these things that he had been going through along the way. And I thought it was really interesting, but I didn't really understand how or if it should apply to my life. But it was really at the point where I chose to step into tithing that started to change my perspective on some of these things. And so I discovered during that phase, really, purpose for earning money. I thought, if I earn more money, I can give more money. This is kind of a great way to approach life from now on. And generosity was something that I was very hesitant about. And that gave me, through obedience, it gave me the opportunity to really step into giving to the church at that time. But I still was really worried about money during that phase. As I look back, I was still trying to build as much as possible. I was still focused on my kingdom and then a little bit on God's kingdom. And so when Keelan kind of invited me several years ago to try out a Finish Line, my wife and I agreed to do that for 90 days. And we maintained that ever since then. But the critical shift that happened there was during that 3-month period, we finally experienced contentment and peace alongside that purpose. And it was something that we didn't even know that we were missing until we had it. So that combination of understanding that we are called to do more than just build our own kingdoms with the money that we're given, alongside with that trust that God has always and will always provide enough, that is really what set us off on the journey that we've been on ever since then.
I love your stories because they're not the same. And it just shows that all of our journeys in this space of that, of our generosity and just learning about money, and we all progress from that, you know, me-centered childhood to what it means to have our story be bigger. And we all progress in those spaces very differently than each other. But one of the things you just said, Cody, that I thought that was really cool is how Keelan invited you in. And I just want to call that out, how important it is for us to invite others into these conversations, and what a great example that was, and a huge help in all of that.
Yeah, how did, I'd love to hear how the conversations went at home with your spouses as it related to this. And Cody, your future spouse, probably, you know, like your wife today, right? I think you were having these conversations before you were married or around the time. Is that right?
At that time, we had been married for a few years.
Yeah. Okay. So I'd love to hear how those conversations happened at home.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think back to what it was like in the very beginning. I know I was definitely initially not, you know, setting a finish line was not in, my wife's name is Allison, wasn't in her kind of, you know, life plan up to that point or something that she had ever considered. And honestly, before that, it wasn't something I had even. We didn't have any template, right? We had never heard, you know, a story of somebody who had done that, and have since come to find out that many, many people have done that. You know, we certainly didn't invent that, but, that was all new for us. And so just like really any kind of major decision or even just any financial decision in marriage, it was a lot of kind of back and forth and rolling things around and talking through ideas. And then fortunately for us, we had just come through 4 years of med school living on very, very little to try to, you know, meet this goal of getting through without taking out any loans. So, you know, we had like the lowest possible lifestyle expectations that you could be starting with. And then in residency, things were still pretty tight, but we were making these decisions pretty early on. And then, so our idea of like what a reasonable lifestyle is like was pretty subdued, I guess. And then, so we were able to kind of, I think that was an important part of our story, because we were kind of able to talk through a lot of these things at a stage before we really had much. I've since, you know, gone into private practice, and just like I knew it was going to happen, our income went up a lot. Actually, her photography business also began to do really well after some of those discussions and stuff. And so we've had a lot of growth since then, but having those conversations early on, I think, paved the way for all that kind of came afterwards. And ever since then, we've always had this framework to kind of talk around. And, you know, even in the last, you know, 2 months or so, we've talked about, you know, with things going on with the kids and this and that, do we need to make some minor adjustments or things like that? And so it's an ongoing process and conversation. It was never just a set it and forget it kind of thing, but it's very much a two-sided thing, not something you can just plow through on your own without your spouse, for sure.
Cody, how about you and your wife?
Yeah, for Steph and I, it was, again, pretty different. So Keelan had a way of asking questions that really bothered me in the best kind of way, but never applied any pressure. He didn't have an agenda. He wasn't trying to accomplish anything. He just said, hey, take a look. What do you think? Is there something here? You know, you're a financial advisor. How does it, do you talk to clients about this kind of stuff? And I said, no, I don't even think about it myself. So how could I lead somebody else through this? So it was interesting to be led by him during that time without really knowing where the destination was. But for context, we had been married for a couple of years. We had just moved from our 800 square foot apartment to our first house that we bought. And my wife was working part-time, and she was in a grad program, getting her master's degree. And, you know, I was just kind of in the first few years of my career, we were just getting started. And we looked at our life and said, we are kind of just getting by and we don't currently have enough. How can we answer this question? How much is enough? We don't even know. We don't know what kind of lifestyle we want to live. We just know it's not this. This is a temporary period that we're going to grow out of. But into what? We didn't know. And it forced us to start to answer that question together. So at times there was an aspect of, are we sacrificing something? Or are we being influenced by, you know, someone else's decision? Or is there really something going on here? Is God calling us to make a decision that actually has a positive impact on the rest of our lives? And so that's why the 3 months was kind of, well, hey, try it, see what you learn. And what happened during that time is we picked a number that was actually more than we were making at the time. And we said, when we reach this number, that will be enough, to the best of our knowledge. And by the end of that year, Steph had graduated. She went working full time. I got a raise, and we were above our finish line, like in less than a year. And so it was time to see if we were really serious about that. And it was a wonderful opportunity to go from feeling like we didn't have enough to recognizing that there was enough, to then having more than enough and being able to step into, okay, now what? Now we have this money set aside. We're not going to spend it on our lifestyle. We've already pre-decided that. How do we manage that other portion, right? It's God's. It was always God's, but how does he want us to use it? And that's what really drew us to, we want to make this a lifelong thing. This isn't a trial period and then we opt out, right? This is super fun and it brings us so much joy, and we can't wait to see what happens next year. We're just going to get better at it from here.
Both of you shared stories about how God showed up as you guys were obedient to trying out what you were thinking through. And that just helps all of our listeners have that. We just need to try, and we tweak and we tweak and we, you know, different things happen. But both of you just shared great stories of God's faithfulness and actually pretty quick turnaround on seeing him in your daily lives. And And that's part of it, is when we actually step into things, even when we have fear of doing it, God shows up, and he does show up and make it obvious. Doesn't mean it has to be that same number, but I just really love that. Thanks for sharing, you guys.
Yeah. Keelan, you asked a great question to Cody that I actually was wanting to ask myself. And so, Cody, how is, now that you guys started the Finish Line podcast and the Finish Line Pledge and things like that, how is that actually influencing your conversations with your financial service clients and your practice? I'm assuming there's people that are like, oh, you might not want to talk to Cody because he's going to talk about setting a financial finish line. But like, how has that impacted your practice?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting thing. There are communities that once you look for them are right there in front of you that I was totally unaware of before. And so Kingdom Advisors was one of those first communities that I said, oh my gosh, Keelan, there's this group of financial professionals that are meeting and talking about and discussing these same things that we're talking about. And so I actually joined a KA community, and then I got my CKA designation to try to learn how to do this, not just for myself, but how to lead other people in this. And really part of my role has shifted from being mostly client focused to now I get to actually support and pour into other advisors who are asking that same question of okay, I have a strong faith and I have a lot of relationships, and those people trust me to give them wisdom around their finances. And I've got God's word right here, you know, like how do I connect the dots there? How do I draw out the wisdom? And then how do I know how to apply that in a client context? And so I had to start to walk that out with the relationships that God's entrusted me with. And then to be able to equip other advisors who are asking those same questions has been so much fun. And I never could have designed that role for myself on my own. So I think God was working in that. And so I've had, through the Finish Line Pledge, through the podcast, now hundreds of conversations from people who are decades down the road on this same journey with all of their beautiful uniqueness of how they've navigated and struggled. And we just get an avenue to hear the highs and the lows, and you can relate on a deep level of what those people are going through. And then people who've had completely different experiences, you know, it's pastors, it's ministry leaders, it's financial advisors, it's CEOs, it's all people from all walks of life who are sharing this heart of generosity, this reflection of God's image as a generous God. And then to be able to look around you and share what God's doing in your life with the people that are looking to you for advice or just want to be your friend, that has been the opportunity of a lifetime. And I'm just so fortunate that he called me into that in my 20s. So I hopefully, God willing, I have plenty of time to continue doing that.
So I just love it. We love our Kingdom Advisor groups, and we just continue to hope and pray that we can grow that ministry with other advisors and introduce other advisors to it. I know it's taught me a few things also, being in the financial space. So as you guys have started this journey, I know that you guys have had that 90-day pledge that you guys encourage people to do. But I think you have a new part of the whole Finish Line conversation, and that's a sprint. Can you guys explain to our listeners what a sprint is?
Yeah, so we designed the sprint program. It's actually evolved a couple times since we started it. It was one of the first parts of the Finish Line Pledge when we first, you know, started the pledge. And the idea is to try to encourage group conversations around some of the core foundation of generosity, really some of the building blocks that eventually lead up to being able to set a finish line. But not really with that as the only goal. I think that's one powerful expression of generosity, but generosity is a much bigger pool to, and so the It started as just an 8-week curriculum. We've since broken that up into a whole bunch of different modules. And there's some, typical kind of discussion type modules. There's some that discuss Bible passages, others that go through kind of theoretical scenarios or ways to just kind of rethink how we normally kind of think about money. There's also some games in there and some simulations, which I personally think are kind of fun. It feels like you're playing a computer game or something, but they all are designed to introduce and kind of expound upon particular concepts and then build on each other.
And so what I think I heard was you can do this in a group setting. You could do this in a small group setting. You could do it just husband and wife. You could do it individually. And it really is at your own pace too, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the reason we broke it into modules is because when it was all into one 8-week curriculum, you kind of could only do it one way. And we found that, some people didn't really need to go through certain modules. They were like ready to hit the ground running with other things. Other people wanted to take it at a slower pace or even there's maybe one or two particular modules that really kind of targeted something that somebody was thinking or talking about right at that time. And so that also gave us the ability to say, hey, regardless of the whole rest of the program, just look at this one module and do this with your spouse or with a group or something. I think you'll get a lot of benefit out of it. And it's only, 20, 25 minutes or something like that. So it just helped it to be kind of more customizable. I think there's probably a lot of growth and customization to go in the future as we continue to kind of build it out. It's one of those things we just kind of follow in God's lead as he gives us some direction. We'll follow wherever he takes it.
Yeah, that's good.
And you guys, it's the two of you doing this on the side of your jobs and your families. And this is just in some ways part of your stewardship of the gifts and the lessons you've learned to provide for others. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been such a joy to have something to work together on. I never would have started on this path if it weren't for Keelan inviting me and then also leading at every step of the way. When it was first just an idea, I remember he built the website and sent it to me and he said, hey, check this out. Let me know what you think. And we started going through it and bounce ideas off each other. And it's been a really fun collaboration because we both have unique preferences and skill sets, and they really are complementary in a lot of ways. But we've also been surrounded by an incredible team. So we have a board that has taught us so much over the last couple of years, and pretty much everyone that we've talked to, and especially the podcast guests that we've had, we just continue learning more and more and more. And that has been really where a lot of the growth has happened, because not only are we getting to have these incredible conversations with so many different people, but we also have this community, even if it's just the two of us sometimes, but with our wives, when we get together, it's part of the rhythm of life of talking about how you manage finances now. It's not this personal private thing that you go figure it out on your own. It's become normal to talk about these kinds of things, and that makes it easier to do. You don't have to carry that burden on your own.
It's good. Hey, you guys are fast approaching over 100 episodes on the Finish Line podcast, which is so awesome. And you've had amazing guests along the way. I wonder if you could share some insights that you've drawn over the years from the guests that have been on the show.
That's a loaded question, because we could talk for a long time about the things that we've learned. We've said this to each other. There have been few things as transformational as just being able to talk to all the people that we've had the chance to talk to. I think the kind of the global summary statement I would make, summing up, 90, however many episodes, is that God has called us into generosity, and he's called each of us into a unique expression of generosity. We are all part of one body that is moving in one direction, but we all have different expressions and ways that God is using us, different places that he's put us, different callings he's placed upon us. And And just seeing story after story after story, that really begins to become apparent. Because when we were starting out in our own generosity journeys, it's really easy, especially if you don't have a lot of kind of templates and other people's stories to go off of, to think that as God is leading you and you're figuring stuff out, to be like, oh, this is what God has called everybody's life to look like, exactly like this. And obviously, we're big fans of a finish line. We have, after talking to so many different people, I've had the same thought of like, I never even thought of this aspect of generosity or this kind of dynamic. And honestly, even things that are kind of opposed to each other, you know, they don't necessarily overlap. And I could give a bunch of examples of that. One good example is we talk to a lot of people who are really engaged and passionate about high return on investment giving, looking for ways that you can give where you get a huge return on impact per dollar that you give. And there's whole movements and ministries and resources all dedicated to that. And we have learned so much from all of that and from the people that are really engaged in that. And honestly, I think a lot like that in general. But then we've also talked to people who God led to a particular problem, and it is not a cheap problem to fix. And so I'll give one example of that is Bible translation is something that we are obviously called into as part of the Great Commission. And it is, it takes a lot of resources to translate the Bible, but there is a enormous movement going on right now trying to get every single language translated by 2033. I wouldn't categorize that as high ROI per dollar giving compared to other, you know, ministries and other areas where, you know, you can be impacting like multiple people per dollar with clean water or with evangelism and outreach and stuff. So, but I think that those are both different, beautiful expressions of how God has called us and that both are needed, you know? And so I think I've much less started to say, this is how it is for everybody and how God has called all of us, and started to say, hey, look, there's many ways that generosity is expressed. And I think the most helpful thing we can do is to try to lay out as many of those as possible and then see what resonates with people. Like somebody's going to hear something and be like, that's it. That's what I need to be doing. And the more that we can do that, and like you guys are doing the exact same thing, so you know what I'm talking about, in sharing stories and just showing all the different iterations. But I think that's been one of the biggest things that I've taken away.
That's awesome, Keelan. Cody?
Yeah, the what's coming to mind for me is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. And that's what we get to see a little glimpses of, or highlight reels, if you will, of people who've lived decades of an obedient and generous lifestyle. And to summarize it, even if it takes over an hour, is just scratching the surface of some of the best lessons that people have learned, some of the challenges that they've faced, some unsolved problems sometimes, but kind of like what Keelan was saying, when you think about all your heart, it's God draws us uniquely to different things because we are the body of Christ. We can't all be doing the same thing in the same way, just like he said, but to see hundreds of different focus areas that people have. And the way that God has brought people into or out of certain circumstances to be aligned in their calling has been really eye-opening and has helped guide my own path. So I get to hear a story and then directly figure out how that applies in my own life and then share that with other people through the podcast or through a conversation. But all your mind as well is thinking about, okay, how do you give really effectively? And I mean, it's no surprise NCF comes up like every other episode because NCF is an example of an organization that is such a leader in this space of it matters what you give, how you give, where you give, and you should think about these things critically. And in combination with those other aspects of where has God called you as an individual or as a couple or as a family or as an organization to be focused? And then how do you do that really effectively? And how the body of Christ comes together through solid biblical teaching and solid financial planning and ministry leadership and all these different things come together to move mountains quite literally. And that has been pretty incredible. And then to figure out what does that mean for me? And then also to see connections that are made as a result of just being a medium to share the stories, to see people say, hey, I just listened to an episode. I'm going to go reach out to that person because I want to be involved in what they're doing. That's something that God is doing. And he just happened to ask us to play a small part in that. So just a much, much broader perspective than I ever imagined on how he can use a little bit of obedience to go a really long way.
You know, I hope this is an encouragement to you both in that in many of the episodes that we've had, a consistent theme that I've seen from some of the most generous people that we've connected with is they've talked about the impact of setting the financial finish line. And like you've said, they've been different, right? There's been some that have set a dollar amount of income. There's some that have sent a wealth finish line and some different models. But time and time again, when we hear and we also see this joy level, right? So we see this like extremely high joy level alongside this extreme high generosity level. And a common scenario has been that they've set some type of financial finish line. They've thought about that. And so just want to encourage you guys in the work that you're doing and thank you for, you know, continuing to herald this message and love learning and hearing. So just wanted to, you know, here in the middle of our podcast, just to encourage you with that.
It is true. I mean, it does come up and we just really love hearing it. And yet it's also different for everybody. As you guys both brought out, the whole body of Christ and how different we all are. We're all called to the different pieces. All of us are called for different finish lines, but opening the door to having the conversation to think about this idea instead of always looking for the more and the more. And because we can all go buy the airplane if we have the money. And is that something, you know, do we critically think, do we need it? And those are just some of the things that I think that we all just want to ask the question of, are we thinking about, you know, are the people that we're engaging with thinking through this finish line? We've talked a lot about that generosity space. And is there anything else that you guys wish that Christians would know in that generosity space or that stewardship space that you want to share now?
I think one of the reasons that I've been so impacted by a financial finish line is not only around generosity, but it is this broader stewardship conversation. And I've realized that for someone like me who was totally focused on what I could buy and what I could own and what I could accumulate, the finish line broke the power of that money's hold that it had on my heart and really allowed me to think through a different lens, to view through a different lens, the way that I managed everything that God provided for me to steward. And so pretty much immediately I started realizing if I have enough, I have more freedom to choose what I do for a living. One of the things that I have started saying is that a finish line is often a doorway that you can walk through into a new perspective on stewardship, because the way that I allocate my investments within my retirement account has been impacted by setting a financial finish line. Not just how much I'll accumulate, but what do you actually do with the things that God's entrusting to you? So the obvious things, what house do you buy? What car do you buy? But also the things that, I feel that it is wise to save for the future to some extent. But when you invest, there's all kinds of conversations going on all around the world and how you can be a good steward with the things that you keep and the things that you give. And so to marry those conversations, the thing that got me into that in the first place was that invitation to set a finish line in the first place.
Cody, you bring up a great point that that I think resonates with so much of what we've talked about with some of our past guests as well. And that is this, once you've set this financial finish line and you've kind of made it there, right? You've got that, it gives you freedom. And you hit on this, you talked about like the freedom that it gives you with even your investments. And so like this idea, and Keelan, you kind of pointed this out, like some have said, hey, make as much as we can so we can be generous here, you know, and things like that. But I think it gives us more latitude to say like, hey, maybe we don't have to have in our retirement accounts and our investment portfolios the same things that every other lost person has in their accounts. And we have an opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to make, maybe it's a more risky investment, but in a more redemptive manner, right? Like it's like, yeah, it makes no sense for me to invest in this, you know, in this coffee plantation here in this place. But because of the work that they're doing, and because I'm less impacted about like, no, I need to earn another dollar here, like you might be more willing to allow for those riskier investments, or you might be willing to take a more concessionary return, as we had Greg Lernahan on and we talked about the grid and mapping that out. Like there's a place for those, you know, even more redemptive, less wise in the eyes of the world investment decisions that you're able to make as you've kind of set that financial finish line.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Eric, and I think really with generosity in general, and especially in my opinion with a finish line, you really find that your whole incentive framework and your way of kind of processing through decisions is completely turned upside down. And so God talks about this with, you know, the wisdom of the world, and God's wisdom often are not the same, and God's wisdom just doesn't make sense to the rest of the world if you're not coming from the same place. One of the things, I was thinking about this with your other question, one of the things that has resonated most to me, we started this whole adventure looking at just generosity and finish lines. You know, how do we do this better? How do we do this well? As we have talked to more and more people, it has become more and more evident that there is an enormous story going on right now, that God is at work now in ways that I don't think we have seen for hundreds of years. You know, like I said before, we're potentially within 10 years of having the Bible translated in every language. Doug Cobb and the Finishing Fund, targeting every last people group that don't have a single believer, they're in the single digits. When he started, they were in the thousands. And, you know, that's within, you know, 5 or 6 years that they've been doing that. You know, I think about GACX bringing together all of these church multiplying movements around the world, starting to map globally all of the data where the missionaries are. Like, God is doing incredible stuff. And then you overlay that with what's going on in the generosity space through generous giving, NCF, you know, the pillars that have been there for the past 20 and 40 years. But then on top of that, then you look at the great wealth transfer that's come in on top, trillions of dollars transferring just among Christians in the next, you know, 20, 30 years through generational wealth. And then you stack on that the exploding movement of financial advisors through Kingdom Advisors, through, you know, people like Ron Blue, who have just been, you know, huge foundational movements in the financial planning space and connecting faith and finances. That's not a coincidence that all these things are happening at once. And I think that we each have the opportunity to step into this story, and generosity is a huge on-ramp into that. And, you know, that's like all the things you're talking about. Those decisions become very different when you're looking at this big picture story that's going on. And you're like, how do I, like, I only have so many resources. I'm only ever going to have so many resources. How do I use every piece of what I have and what I am and my family and everything at my disposal to move this story forward and to be a part of it with everything that I have.
Well, Keelan, super well said. And frankly, I think that was just even a teaser of we could keep these conversations going on for so long. And so I got to direct people to, we're going to direct people to check out the Finish Line podcast and the go check out the Finish Line Pledge and tune in to even more of this conversation. And, if you've not, Cody, I love how you started and did a 90-day test of the Finish Line. So maybe if you're listening here, like what would it look like if you took 90 days and set a test drive financial Finish Line and see that impact? And so we'll put show notes in there to give links to you guys, and so that way people can continue the conversation. And we are just so grateful that you have invested this time into the listeners here of the Generosity Now podcast. And on the Generosity Now podcast, we seek to inspire, equip, and connect our listeners for generous kingdom impact and whole life stewardship. For more information on us, check us out online at ncfgiving.com/Rocky Mountains and generositynow.org. Please go ahead and subscribe to our podcast, leave us a 5-star review, and share this with your network. And today's doxology is coming out of 1 Timothy 6:17-19, and Lori's going to read that for us.
As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of which is truly life.
Yes, and amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We're really grateful for you being here.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for all that you're doing to share stories of generosity and all the amazing work God is doing. Very grateful for you guys.
Yeah, thank you both. This has been a lot of fun, and Keelan recently shared with me a term. I don't know if he came up with it or where he found it, but it's spiritual templating. And I just want to encourage the two of you on what you're doing, because you provide templates through the facilitation of these stories that you share through the podcast, just like we're trying to do through Finish Line, which gives people examples which they can relate to, be challenged by, be encouraged by. And I'm just really grateful to be on this journey alongside the two of you.
Oh, love that.
Thank you for you guys. We really appreciate this time that we've had together. Thanks.